Scriptural Relation of Religion and the State, Chapter 1, Not Settled Yet. The question before us, and to the discussion of which these pages are devoted, is, how far does the rightful exercise of civil authority extend into the realm of religion? By civil authority is meant human government, and by religion is meant the relations which individuals sustain toward the supreme object of their veneration, either in matters of faith or action. Enough has been said to have settled the question long ago, if it could have been settled by mere logic, and experience in the things which relate to this subject forms many chapters in the history of the past. Those chapters contain some most impressive and decisive lessons, in the light of which it would seem that there would be no excuse for vacillation or hesitancy as to the merits of state interference in matters of a purely religious nature. But yet the question is not settled. Many centuries ago, St. Augustine laid down the principle that it is indeed better that men should be brought to serve God by instruction than by fear of punishment or by pain. But because the former means are better, the latter must not therefore be neglected. All respectable men hold an aversion to beholding wrongdoing or the effects of wrong thinking in other men. They conceive it to be their duty to prevent the wrong. Some stop when the first means suggested by Augustine fail, others are in favor of using the latter means if necessary. They argue that men should be forcibly restrained from error and constrained by force to do right. Following out this principle, untold torture and misery have been inflicted upon the heretic. To accomplish this work, the state has been appealed to, and its strong arm has wielded the lash armed with scorpions, every blow of which fell not only upon the quivering flesh of innocent sufferers, but upon the far more tender and sacred consciences of those to whom principles were dearer than life. Punishment for heresy has not been administered, as in other crimes, in proportion to the gravity of the offense, but according to the determination of the offender not to surrender his convictions of right. So that in undertaking the forcible reformation of dissenters or unbelievers, there is no limit beyond which the penalties must not go. The limit is only reached when the victim yields, or punishment has reached its utmost extent in death. Yet it is today an open question: shall the state undertake to constrain men to serve God? No one contemplates carrying matters to the extent of rack and flame. But we repeat that mild measures will not compel liberty-loving men to adopt principles and practices which are not their own. Hence, any movement in that direction is sure to end either in a dismal failure or in cruel persecution. The blood of more than 50 million martyrs cries from the ground in a united protest against such work. While it may be doubted if ever one soul was brought to a saving knowledge of the truth by it. Still, there are many well-meaning Christian men who today are so far deceived in this matter as to be working for and demanding the interference of the civil power in the prosecution of the work of the gospel, by compelling men to conform to religious observances, whether willing or unwilling. Strange to say, the question of extending the civil power into religious matters is not settled yet.